Last week we explored Psalm 23 and we sat on verse number 1. Today we are going to begin to just to dive in a bit deeper into that. We understand that Psalm 23 is about relationship, not merely power. We understood that the name that he says, the Lord, was the name God, Yahweh, which describes his covenant name. Whenever God enters into covenant with his people, he is referred to as Yahweh. It's associated with God's faithfulness. We also spoke last week is that whenever God wants to do anything in the world, he seeks after men and women. We understand this by listening to what he said to Abraham. He said, now the Lord said to Abraham, this is in Genesis 12, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And it says when he went, he was 75 years old. Three circles of associations here. Country, kindred, and father's house. These represented progressively narrower fields of relationships that anchored a person's identity and security. The household of the father functioned as the primary identifying mark of a person, determining inheritance rights, social standing, and one's place in the community. And so by God asking Abraham to abandon all three, God was signaling a radical reorientation. Hey, change everything about you, everything that identified you, because I'm going to grant you a new identity, I'm going to grant you new purpose, and we're going to start over to accomplish the blessing for humanity that God had originally intended. So even for yourself, God, when God wants to do something, he sought you so that he will bless you, not just for yourself, so that you'd be a blessing to your family, you would be a blessing to the world, so that through you, God can fulfill the plans and purposes that he has for humanity. Isn't that a great thing to know? That you are part of God's plan to fulfill the things that he wants to do through humanity. Charles Spurgeon said, because remember, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So Spurgeon said that before a man truly can say, and I quote, the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature, for he cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. He must relate to a sheep in its foolishness, its dependency, and in the warped nature of its will. Psalm 20, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence. Now, we understand nowadays we don't have rods and stuff. But guess what? If you are in the presence of a security guard that has got a gun, guess what you're going to feel? Real comfort. You're not going to be scared because you know the fact that he's got a pistol on him or a rifle, I am comforted. I went on a walking safari probably 10 years ago and we had two guides, but they were all at the front. And so we would all walk in single file, and then they would say, there's no talking. And if they put their hand up, guess what you'd have to do? You'd have to stop. Now, we walked quite freely because we understood there was a man and a woman in front of us with a what? With a gun. So if a lion came, well, we would hope that their aim was good. So... So I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm shows the relationships between divine guidance and human agency. Divine guidance, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. Now the question is that, do I allow myself to be led? Ian D. Campbell, in his book, The Care of the Good Shepherd, says, the shepherd's leading in Psalm 23 assumes that we have surrendered our wills to him. And this is not a coercive force. He's not forcing you, but rather a willing reorientation. Because becoming a Christian involves submitting your will to God, which means the leading operates within the framework of consent. Sometimes as children submit to authority, we have to understand is that we lose our self-sufficiency and independence, not because we are being forced, but we recognize that the shepherd's direction serves our genuine flourishing. If we allow the shepherd to lead us, we know that it's going to ultimately be for our own good. When God acts in his own best interest, it simultaneously serves our best interest. So, David, in expressing this psalm to us, submits to his shepherd. And so where the shepherd leads, he follows. And his life is not self-determined, but determined by the will of the shepherd. The green pastures that we are being led on and the still waters aren't rewards for obedience. Well, because we obey you. No, this is as a result of alignment in our lives. Because we are aligned to him, he therefore leads us through the green pastures and by the still waters. In Psalm 91, this is where you have to understand about alignment. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, or to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will surely deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Understanding that for him to deliver you, there is an alignment that needs to be available in your life. Are you aligned to the Lord in your life? Where there is no alignment, where there is no dwelling and abiding, well, then I guess it's going to be very difficult for you to navigate your relationship with the Lord. So there's an alignment is very key and important in our lives. So here we are being led through green pastures. And this green pastures is much richer than simply a field of grass. The word means fresh grass, tender shoots, new vegetation, lush greenery. The emphasis here is on freshness and nourishment. Understand that when David said this, that Israel is not naturally a lush country. Much of Judea is rocky and semi-arid. Green pasture was therefore precious, difficult to find, seasonal. And when the shepherd led you there, it was evidence that the shepherd knew exactly where to lead the flock. A bad shepherd wandered around, hopefully, aimlessly hoping to find nourishment for his sheep, whereas a good shepherd knew where life was. These green pastures represent spiritual nourishment. The green pastures is a picture of God's word, his promises, his truth, his presence, his continual provision. You see, Jeremiah 15 says, thy words were found and I did eat them. The Lord Jesus, when he was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, he said, you know, so he tempted the Lord and says that if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God that would bring nourishment into your life. The green pastures point to Christ because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is our nourishment. The word becomes the foundation for which everything, for everything that follows. And so I ask this morning, in relation to my alignment, where am I trying to feed my soul? Am I grazing in places that leave me empty? Am I allowing the shepherd to lead me? And am I resting or am I constantly striving? Where am I trying to feed my soul? Because he says the shepherd leads me beside green pastures. Well, he leads me through green pastures beside still waters. Where am I feeding? Am I allowing him to lead me? Am I resting or am I constantly striving in my life? The shepherd knows what he needs. He leads me. You see, because left to ourselves, we will find satisfactions in places that cannot truly quench our thirst. The shepherd leads us to what truly satisfies. So he leads me beside still waters, because it's in those still waters that I'll gain, I'll drink. Sheep, by their nature, will not drink from turbulent waters. So they had to be taken to still waters. So the shepherd leads us to what truly satisfies. Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 2 says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." Jesus echoes this in John 7:37. He says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart or out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" The progression really matters. You cannot be guided, as we will go into verse number 3, into righteousness without first being nourished and being refreshed. So if you and I as Christians are strengthened by partaking of God's provision through living in God's word, we will yield to further guidance by Jesus Christ, who will guide us beside the still waters. This is very important in our lives. David does not say he gives me still waters. He says he leads me beside still waters. This implies a journey of trust, because sheep don't naturally know where the safest water is, but the shepherd does. In the same way, you and I, we can chase after success because we feel those things will satisfy us. We'll chase after security. If I have X, I'll do this. Lord, I can't follow your direction to follow you because I want to have X amount in my bank account. No, my husband doesn't want me to follow you. My wife, she's not happy that I want to follow the call of God. So we look for security and for reasons. But what happens is that when we find our satisfaction in other things that are not Jesus, it will still leave us thirsty. There will still be an emptiness in our life. We will still come and want to be filled over and over again. The good shepherd leads us to the only place where our deepest thirst is quenched, and that is in his presence. Revelation 7:15 says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The shepherd always leads, but I must choose to follow. There is a willingness required on my part, because God has given you and I agency. We choose. He says, I command you to follow me. No, he says, follow me. There was a choice that they could have made. Nah, I'm good. I'd rather fish. No, I'd rather do this and that. That's, you know, you are entitled to make that call over your life. So there is a willingness that is required. I can resist his leading. I can ignore his voice, or I can choose my own path. Yet every time I insist on my own way, I move away from the shepherd's protection, his provision, and his peace in my life. When I try to find fulfillment in other things other than the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm never going to be at peace. So following the shepherd is an act of trust. Sometimes I don't follow because I understand every step of the journey. I follow because I understand the character of the one who is leading me. We have to understand the character. That is why he says the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. Because now if we go through the Bible, what we can begin to understand is that that was an invitation to relationship. And people entrusted their lives to him. Were they let down by him? Were they let down by the Lord? They were not let down by the Lord. So all of a sudden, that gives us security to say, well, if he let all those other people, if he did not let them down, then surely he's not going to what? He's not going to let me down. So I can what? I can trust him. David's confidence was not built upon the terrain, but it was built upon the shepherd. It has to be built. We've spoken significantly about, in fact, I heard Chuck Swindoll, he was speaking to Greg Laurie, and he said Corrie ten Boom must have come to his church, and she said something. She says, Chuck, whatever you do, hold things loosely. And his interpretation from what this woman said was that if I hold on to things with a clenched fist, the day that the Lord wants to prize those fingers open, I'm going to really struggle. So I hold everything loosely. Hey, Lord, you want me to give up this? Okay. But if I hold on to it, there will be a battle that will be fought to let go of those things, to let go control of my life. I have to hold it loosely so that when he begins to make visitation on you, you can let go of those things. His trustworthiness is because he provided green pastures when I was hungry. He led me to still waters when I was thirsty. He gave me rest when I was weary. Trust always precedes obedience. I'll trust and I'll follow. The more I know the shepherd, it becomes easier to follow his voice. Because the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ is never manipulative or self-serving. It is always motivated by his goodness, his wisdom, and love. He then says to us, this is King David says, he restores my soul. He acknowledges that there are times when sheep wander, become exhausted, and even fall. Yet the shepherd does not abandon them. He does not abandon you and I. He restores us. He revives us. And he brings us back into fellowship with him. And then he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He doesn't simply restore me to where I was. He restores me so I can continually walk the right path with him. This Christian life is not merely about being rescued. It is about continually following. The shepherd leads. The sheep follow. The shepherd knows the destination. The sheep learn to trust the journey. This relationship is not built on fear, but on confidence in the shepherd's proven character. And then he says, you know, he said that, and he says he does it for his name's sake. And I asked myself, why for his name's sake? Everything hinges on the shepherd's reputation and character. 4 weeks ago, I had taken this, I had gone to do some work for someone, and luckily I had sent them the presentation I was going to present. And then the next morning I woke up, the laptop did not work. I tried everything, it didn't work. I went, checked all the stuff. Luckily I had my iPad with me, and it didn't work. And so when I came back into Perth, I went to the Apple store and I said, look, this is something's wrong with this. And they fixed it for no charge. Last year my phone was stolen. Because I had insurance, they sent me a new phone. Now imagine I had taken out insurance and they said, sorry, we're not paying you. We're not giving you a phone. How then can you trust Apple as a company? So they did it for their name's sake. They did it for the sake of Apple, that we have a reputation to uphold, that when we say we will fix it and we will replace it without cost to you, we are going to follow through. This is why it says he does it for his name's sake. Therefore say to the house of Israel, it says in Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, even when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Israel had failed repeatedly, yet God restored them, not because they deserved it, because God had attached his name to them. The reason why you can trust him is because he's attached his name to you. That is why he's going to lead you through those paths of righteousness. Sometimes when we think God is helping me because I'm doing well, I've read my Bible, I've prayed for 2 hours. No. He's leading me because he is good. My failures do not define his faithfulness. My weakness does not diminish his strength. And my inconsistency does not alter his character. The truth, this truth knowing that the Lord does that for his name's sake, should not encourage us to be complacent, but inspires deeper trust and worship. We obey him because we love him. But we rest in knowing that our shepherd's care is anchored in his unchanging name. Because if we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God's actions are always consistent with his holy character. I think I'll get the team to get back up. As we finish, Psalm 23 is not simply about God's provision. It is about God's leadership. He doesn't merely provide these green pastures and still waters. He leads. And I wonder this morning, are you learning to recognize his leading in your life? He says, my sheep know my voice. How do you know his voice? How well do you know his voice today? It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we've tried to, you know. It says in John 10, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is the one thing that we need to get good at. Understanding the voice of the Holy Spirit above all the other voices in our lives. And that is why Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is a person who leads God's people. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have to be led. Led. The shepherd still leads his people today, but he leads them by his Holy Spirit. We must become familiar with his voice. And you know the one way we become familiar? Is the shepherd spends time with his flock. That the sheep recognize his voice above all the other voices. They will know, oh, the shepherd is calling us. We must spend time in God's presence until we recognize the gentle witness of the Holy Spirit. He speaks through the scriptures, illuminating God's truth, an inward witness, a settled peace or a loving conviction, godly wisdom and counsel from other people around us. That's how he leads us. That's how we know the Holy Spirit speaks. We understand that the Holy Spirit will never contradict his word. How well do you know the shepherd this morning? The more time we spend with him in prayer, worship, and his word, the better we'll be able to perceive when he speaks to us. The witness of the Holy Spirit is cultivated. It is not automatic. The sheep don't recognize the shepherd's voice instantaneously. They learn it through daily relationships. Mothers would understand this. They can be in a crowd and their children are playing with everybody. But when they hear the child cry, amongst all those other voices, they will know that one is mine. And the only reason they know that is because they've spent time with these children. For me as a father, it's just, it's just another voice amongst the crowd. But the mother somehow have got this instinct that tells them that, wow, that's mine. And they'll stand up and go. And you wonder, what's this lady doing? But she knows that her child is the one that's crying. We cannot... This witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that as he leads us, and let's stand this morning, as he leads us and as he guides us, we need to know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Because the day will come when you will need to do something and he will whisper something to you, but you have to tune. Nowadays, because everything is digital, things just happen. Back in the days, you had to tune the radio to make sure that you catch the right frequency. This is the same thing we have to do. We have to catch the frequency of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We have to know, hey, this is him speaking to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. Guides me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This shepherd is worthy to be trusted with your life. Regardless of the turmoil that you experience in your life, that you feel, this shepherd is worthy to be trusted. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you this morning for what you're doing in our lives, what you're going to do with our lives as we spend time with you, to get to know your voice and how you speak to us. Holy Spirit, lead us. This morning, I'm just going to say a prayer of invitation to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I would ask that you would repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. and put my trust in you. For you are the good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning that says, hey, I'm making that decision to follow the Lord for the first time, with every eye closed and head bowed, I just want you to raise your hand so that I can see, and our team will be able to just talk with you and give you something to help you along your journey. Why don't we raise our hands to the Lord one more time this morning? Holy Spirit, come rest on us. As we leave this place, we just want to, we want to know you more. We make the commitment that, Lord, to align our lives with you, that you are trustworthy, and that there is a ministry of your Holy Spirit that is available to us, and we are going to explore. We will make the intention, we will make the choice to explore, to get to know your voice. So, Father, bless your people this morning as we leave this place, that they would get to know you and understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit.